Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in. Final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see the Music City Bowl, the Transperfect Music City Bowl, as Auburn takes on Maryland at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, December 30th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Auburn take on Maryland at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, December 30th at the Music City Bowl. 615-737-1025. So what changes could be coming for the Tennessee Titans this offseason? And there are three games left in the regular season. They're not going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have a relatively high pick. We'll see what that ends up looking like. Right now, they're at number 9. We'll see what that looks like as the season progresses here. What changes could be coming? Joe, we saw them fire the offensive coordinator last offseason. They fired the offensive line coach in Keith Carter. They shuffled around other members of the coaching staff in different roles. So we've seen a shakeup on the offensive side of the football for the Titans and some of the moves that they've made. What other changes do we think could happen this offseason? Are there any changes that you think will happen for the Titans this offseason? We had our good friend Jared Stillman hop on the radio yesterday and said that it's time to clean house and to fire Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. I don't know that I expect that, but how do you view what it lies in front of the Titans and what changes we could see this offseason?
And we're talking staff. We're just talking staff changes.
We're right? talking staff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think that. I don't think that. I've basically heard the gist of Jared's spiel, which is if they don't clean house, then a year from now we're just going to be in the same spot, and then they will. And he compares it to like Brandon Staley, right? Which was, you know, like last year there were some people, especially when they blew that game to the Jags. You know, is it time to move? I mean, clearly he was coming in this season on the hot seat, you know, and then, of course, now he's out. I don't look at this as the same situation. Again, I do think that you have to – I just think you really have to separate Vrabel and Carthon, which happens plenty, right? I mean, there's plenty of times when a head coach and a GM are – there's times when they're both moved out. The Raiders just did that, right? Raiders just moved on from their collaboration, whatever you want to call it. And then there's also obviously plenty of time, just like last year when John Robinson's fired and Vrabel is, if anything, elevated when that happens. I don't see how you could possibly Rand Carthon in his first year as GM. Like that's just idiotic. If you do that, if you were actually to do that, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Like, if Amy Adams Strong, imagine that she actually did that. Like, she actually thought, like, what Jared said made sense. I'm not saying she's taking his advice, but if she thought the same way, just a ridiculous way to think. How much would you be telling on yourself as a complete moron of an owner?
you
would be saying, I am a clueless owner. I just hired someone, and sorry, he's fired. I'm firing everybody. And again, that's also following up the two huge extensions that you gave Vrabel and Robinson with a lot of money and a lot of term. So you're doing you're and again, yes, Vrabel probably gets scooped up. I mean, Robinson's like, he's cool. he's got paid for many years right now. Vrabel probably gets another job, so that offsets some of it. But still, you did all this commitment. Okay, you picked one. When you pick Robinson, to me, that you could look at it like, wow, maybe Vrabel shouldn't feel so comfortable. I get it. And if you lose in this league, then there's some element of that anyway. But I look at it like you chose Vrabel, so you are riding with Vrabel. Whether not saying it was a power struggle, but saying you made a choice. And so now you just hired Carthon. And this is my long way of saying that's stupid and that's not happening. Okay? it's not happening. It shouldn't happen. You would be a laughingstock in pro sports if you fired your GM. Because, again, and first of all, like the GM's first draft, although like right now we're talking about a game which Skoronski looked rough, but the GM's first draft looks pretty promising, I'd say, right? First free agency group, the big signing was a disaster. So there's no getting around that. But that's, I mean, the entirety of what he's done, if we're going to say him, I still look at it like they. But if we're going to look at the entirety of the offseason, Brunskill, okay, I'll share, okay. Key, not great. You know, Dillard, absolute disaster. Draft class, yeah, pretty good. That's fireable? I mean, come on. That's not fireable. You didn't even ask me to go to talk about all this stuff. Maybe I still have.
No, keep going.
No, yeah, I'm just going to just blab the entire segment. I think that there's a possibility of some coaching changes. Yes. I don't think Tim Kelly's one of them. I do think – I mean, I think that the O-line coach, I think it's a talent issue. But you're talking about the assistant of the guy who got fired, which I thought was weird in the first place. So is it possible they look to upgrade there? That to me would top the list of possibilities. What about you?
I do wonder about Shane Bowen. I think it's fair to say, even though – we have seen moments this year where the defense has played really well. Like the Miami game, they were outstanding. So I don't know that I would say that it's likely. But I do wonder, I think we would all agree this defense is underachieved this year, right? So when you've got an underachieving defense and a team that's going to end up, 5-12 or 6-11 or whatever it is they end up here, do you take a look at the defensive coordinator? You've already moved on from an offensive coordinator. I'm with you. I don't think that they're going to move on from Tim Kelly after 1 year. Do you think there's a chance that they take a look at Shane Bowen?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. Obviously, those guys have worked together a long time, and it's been pretty significant ups and downs. And the weirdness of the way it started, with not giving him the title. I would say that's possible. It's amazing how it works in this league because – it was a couple years ago that Shane Bowen was definitely one of those names that was popularly thrown in with there's always the coordinator, the list of coordinators who might be head coaching candidates, and Shane Bowen's name was definitely being thrown around. They had a great defense. They bounced back from 2020, bad defense, no pass rush, to have a great defense with a fierce pass rush, and Shane Bowen is talked about as a head coaching candidate, and now could he be on the hot seat? I wouldn't rule it out. I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised by that. But I suppose I can't rule it out. I mean, that's the part of this team that is more surprising. I mean, the offensive line, we wondered if it could be okay. It obviously hasn't been. The defense, we thought, can it be great? And it's been below average. So relative to expectations, I think that's a clear place to look. I would be surprised if he made that move.
I would be too. I don't think that you can totally dismiss it. I don't think Vrabel wants to do that. I don't think that Vrabel is like getting to the end of the season, like, all right, I got to get Shane Bowen out of here. But I do think when that side of the football has been, like, we know the limitations of the offense and the offensive line and all those things. There have been too many games this year where the defense has not played well enough. And the interesting part about that is, like, Danico Autry has 11 sacks. Like, he's having a career year from a sack standpoint. Harold Landry's got 8.5 right now. He's going to end up, he might end up with 10 as well. Like, if you would have told me before the year that Autry would have 11 sacks and Harold Landry coming off a torn ACL would end up around double-digit sacks, I would say, okay, well, this Titans defense is going to be really good, and it's going to be everything we thought it could be in the preseason, and it's just not been that way. Arden Key has not been what we thought he could be as we looked at him in training camp and in the preseason.
He looked great against Dillard, though.
He did look great against Dillard. And he looked great that first half against the Saints game. And look, he's flashed a couple of times the last few weeks where, you know, he went through the middle part of the season where he was a ghost out there. So he's been a little bit more visible lately, but that's a long way of me saying, like, if you would have told me before the year, Harold Landry was closing in on double-digit sacks coming off an ACL and Danico Autry had 11 sacks, I would have thought this defense would have been everything we thought it could be in the preseason, and it's just not.
No, it's a great point. And in tandem with, like, Jeff Simmons has had a good year. I mean, he's been good.
Yeah.
You know, some weeks better than others. But still, he's been good, and he's had some really good weeks. That's a great point. It's like those numbers alone, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, well, this is going to work out pretty well. But they haven't been able to stop the run this year. And again, I do think that that's – like they're not good enough at linebacker. But also up front, they've just been inconsistent. And obviously, I mean, you think about early in the season, Fulton either getting hurt or making devastating mistakes, like in that Indy game on the road, for example. Then they trade away Byard, and they're not good in the back end. And I give Monty Hooker credit. Monty Hooker's out there playing like an all-pro with not a ton of help around him. But they just – they're not – you know, they're just deficient at more spots than I certainly thought going into the year.
615-737-1025. What changes do you think could be or should be coming for the Titans this offseason with the coaching staff? 615-737-1025. Our phone number, more of your thoughts on that coming up next. We'll have John Glennon from the Nashville Post joining us at 8:30. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have John Glennon from the Nashville Post coming up here in just a few minutes at 8:30. Kyle on the text line says, has Jeff Simmons lived up to being a top two or three tackle in the NFL? I feel like he's been good. I don't feel like he's been great, like he's getting paid to be. This from Kyle on the text line. Joe, what do you think of that?
I think that's fair. I think, you know, especially like some of these games where they haven't stopped the run. I mean, it's not all on one guy, but I mean, Simmons is kind of, you pay a guy like that to be two things, to be, you know, a guy who dominates up front, so disruptive that teams can't run, and also gets his own in the passing, you know, in the pass rushing department a certain amount too. And I think that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons has been, I think he has been great in some games. And I mean, look, Simmons is one of those situations where, and it's just the nature of the position, I would invite anyone to watch all 22 replays of games and just watch him. And I think in some games, after people are like, Jeff Simmons, you know, is he really, because he didn't make a lot of plays. If you watch some of these games, you'll see him dominating consistently. So I'm probably a little higher on him than maybe some people, you know, like, I mean, he's a dominant player. But I agree, like, ultimately, when it comes down to it, you're paid to wreck games like Aaron Donald and Chris Jones and Quinnen Williams, and I don't think he has played at that level this year, so I think that's fair. I think if he plays at this level he's played at this year, and the biggest thing is if he doesn't get hurt, if he's available, it's going to end up being a good investment, okay? Maybe not, again, I guess when you pay that money, you're hoping he's the next Aaron Donald, and we remember the game in Los Angeles a couple years ago, we went in there and stole the show from Aaron Donald, you know, and just destroyed that game, you know. But you know, you're also, you know, you're not going to get that every game. I think it's a good investment. I think it was the right thing to do. The big question with him is definitely health. As he gets older here moving forward, is he going to be able to give you 17 game seasons? That's 2 years in a row now that he has had an injury.
Matt from Camden on the text line says, I know T.R. Tart missed some time this season, but do you think him being out of shape and being disgruntled about the contract made that big of a difference in the run defense? I feel like if the Titans had Tart from last year or the year before, the run defense wouldn't have been this bad. This is from Matt from Camden.
Yeah, it's a good – I think with Tart, I think some of Tart's sort of inconsistencies can be attributed to – or some of the run stopping issues can be attributed to that a little bit. You know, I think he was inconsistent. It was pretty obvious early on. Go back to camp. Vrabel had comments in camp about his conditioning. So I think they thought he was going to be one thing, and he wasn't that consistently. And, again, at times, we could put together a highlight clip of Tier Tart this year that's like, oh, my God, right? I mean, he made some plays, and he absolutely can be a dominant run stopper in there. But I think that they were leaning on him for a little bit more for another step. And, again, it's too bad because I think that if Tier Tart this year was what they thought he was going to be, he would also be looking at a multi-year pretty darn good contract right now. And I think what he's going to do is someone's going to give him another one-year flyer now because of all this stuff. I mean, he's too good not to – well, I mean, the Texans have picked him up, so there you go. Tier Tart will be – looking for his revenge on the Titans in 10 days or whatever, in 12 days. But if he would have been what they thought he was going to be this year, then they would be better, and also he would be looking at, I think, a pretty juicy contract coming up. It's too bad to see this because it's just when it comes down to it, I know there's – I don't like to get into the whole – and there's some noise coming from the Titans side, you know, that's sort of – ripping him a little bit, but ultimately, I mean, you've kind of seen it play out with some of his tweets and everything like that. And like with Terrell Williams, the way he responded to questions about Tart a few weeks ago, that kind of said a lot to me. Like, they've been really frustrated with him. It's just too bad to see because he's a great story. He's an undrafted guy who comes in and has a chance to be a real difference maker in the NFL and really carve out a nice career. Maybe he still will, but this year didn't help him.
So going back to the staff change front, you know, they just fired Keith Carter last year and they bring in Jason Hoteling, and we've gone through, you know, Vrabel's process there and talking about the interview. And look, I have no idea whether or not Jason Hoteling is a good offensive line coach. I think a lot of what we've seen on the offensive line this year, either one, predates him with some of the selections that have been made, or number two, they've just picked poor choices this year with Andre Dillard and the way that they decided to handle things. Having said that, with as bad as the offensive line has been these last 2 years, and by the way, Hoteling has been here for both of those. He was an assistant 1 year and now is the offensive line coach. I do think it kind of goes back to the old adage, like if you're Mike Vrabel and you feel like there's somebody that's out there that can do a better job, I think if I may be Adam Strunk, I'm saying, why don't you go get me another offensive line coach? Like with as bad as it's been, and I get it. It's not, in my opinion, it's not all fair to put on the offensive line coach this year because of, I think, just the lack of ability they've got there in some degree. Now, having said that, like how much better has a Dylan Raiden's got? How much better did a Nicholas Petit-Frere get from year one to year two? I mean, he wasn't in there very much. He didn't look like he got much better to me. So I think I think the idea of the Titans moving on from Hoteling even after 1 year is beyond fair given how bad that group's been this year.
Yeah, before they move on from him, we'll figure out how to say it. Is it Hoteling? It might be Hoteling. And I've been
it says Hoteling on the official pronunciation sheet. So that's what I'm going with.
Hoteling. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go with it. Okay.
Big H.
right. Hoteling is a way. As a way that we're going, that just tells you right there. It's a very short stay for him. Again, everybody knows Vrabel said it was one of the best interviews he's had. Yeah, it's just the question. I'm down on the idea that it is that guy's fault. Not saying that because they have a personnel issue. Like I know, anytime we talk about O-line coaches, someone's going to bring up Mike Munchak and say, "Just get him in there and he'll coach him up." But
we already got it on the text line.
There you go. You know, but first of all, I mean, he's retired. I mean, hey, give it a shot, right? Give it a call. But, you know, there's just limitations. I mean, there's just limitations on what position coaches can do if they don't have talent. But at the same time, I'm with you. Like, you're charged to me, number one, with fixing that situation. You talked about fixing it a year ago. You didn't. So fixing it is obviously bringing in new players, but it's also saying what is the absolute – I mean, Vrabel last year went out and he fired Anthony Midgett and he went and he got Chris Harris because he wanted the absolute best. Like, who is the hottest candidate out here coaching defensive backs who people are talking about hiring as a D coordinator? Well, he went and got him. Who's that with the offensive line? I think you need to think about things like that. And Amy Adams Strunk, we talk about the cap space and all that stuff. Well, that's also where she comes in too. Because I promise you that there was a – you had to go to the owner to hire a Chris Harris because you're talking about a guy who people are trying to hire as a DC. Well, you know, if you're going to do that in the offensive line, then she has to be willing to also invest in that stuff. So that's part of this equation too. The owner's got to not be cheap on any front.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from the Nashville Post. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and their path forward. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. Johnny, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, John, we were just talking about the Titans, the path forward here, the coaching staff. Vrabel makes changes to the coaching staff last year, fires the OC, fires the offensive line coach, shuffles some things around in other spots. How do you view the coaching staff right now? Do you feel like more changes could be coming this offseason? Do you think it's going to be running it back and seeing if you can make better selections in the offseason player-wise? How do you view what the Titans have in front of them right now with decisions to make on the coaching staff?
I think, you know, anytime you've had a season like this, as was the case last year, you know, I think changes probably need to be made. You know, I can't think you blame it all on personnel. You know, I think coaching has to be better in some areas as well. And I think one area, though, that I think you run into maybe sort of a question mark is guys that are in their first years this year. You know, do you give them more than 1 year, even though maybe their position is struggling? Do you say, all right, I owe it to them to give more than 1 year at a job? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, like corners with Chris Harris. I'm thinking offensive coordinator with Tim Kelly. I'm thinking offensive line with Jason Odeling. You know, guys like that, you know, their positions haven't improved. You know, the players under them haven't necessarily improved this year. But do you say, okay, it's tough to turn everything around in 1 year, you know, and give them that at least that second year as well? Or do you say, look, we were terrible in a lot of spots. We've got to, you know, some heads have to roll. We've got to make some changes, you know, and those are some of the guys that come to mind anyway. So it's going to be an interesting situation in that regard.
Okay, so I'm going to put you in charge. What are you doing? How are you divvying up the responsibility for this mess?
Wow. In terms of coaches that would go, you mean?
Yeah, or? I mean, do you think, I mean, because we've been talking about Hodling and probably butchering his name along the way, but, you know, it's like the idea of, first of all, I thought it was weird that you fire an O-line coach and hire his assistant. Vrabel talked about how great his interview was. Also, last year, Vrabel fired Anthony Midgett and went out and just tried to find, to me, like, who's the star defensive backs coach out there in the NFL? Chris Harris had DC offers, right? So he went and got him. Like, do you look at that on the O-line and say, who is, you know, I mean, you go try to, like, I don't know who it would be, but you know, I'm just wondering if, like, do you feel like it's necessary or if this is more of a personnel issue in your mind?
I lean towards more personnel, honestly. But still, you know, even if your personnel isn't great, I think you still have, you know, responsibility and you know, the opportunity to make your players better anyway. And we haven't seen enough of that at some of those positions. So, again, I come back to, though, like, you know, some of those guys we talked to, like, you know, on the offensive line, you know, I think at cornerbacks as well. Is it fair to them, you know, to give them just, you know, the 1 year and say, you know, well, you had your chance, we're out, you know, so sorry about the bad personnel, you know, or are you more lenient and you say everybody at least deserves a second year in this kind of job? I'm not sure. I mean, he gave Todd Downing a couple of years as the offensive coordinator. Things didn't ultimately work out. So, you know, do you look at Tim Kelly now and say things aren't working out as well? I better cut my losses earlier than Todd Downing. You know, I'm not certain of that. But certainly I do think there will be some change. I just don't think you can stand pat again after a year like this.
John, on the quarterback front, Will Levis dealing with a high ankle sprain, and we'll see what that looks like in terms of his availability the rest of the way here. Number one, if you're the Titans, would you just go ahead and shut him down at this point, given the offensive line that he's playing behind? And number two, if that's the case, who are you putting in at quarterback, Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis to close out the season?
Well, I don't automatically shut him down, for one. You know, I guess it all depends on the severity of the ankle sprain. I mean, you know, he's a young guy. He's healed quickly this year. You know, I would certainly doubt, say, this weekend that he's back in. You know, but if he is ready and he's mobile and he's moving around the last couple of weeks, I certainly still think game experience, even behind a bad line, is a good thing. I don't think it automatically, you know, you have to be so concerned that you're sitting guys out. If he can't play, and my guess, again, you know, certainly this week would be tough. You know, I think you can make an argument kind of for both the other quarterbacks starting. You know, and obviously, if you go with Tannehill, you say, hey, maybe we'll give the vet, you know, who's done so much for this team, has been a great leader in his day. Maybe we'll give him a little bit of a send off here at home. You know, we kind of owe it to him, you know, to give him maybe another game to play him. I wonder, on if you're Tannehill, are you really excited about getting in there if the opportunity is given? I mean, you know, obviously I'm sure he would step up, but, you know, A, playing behind this line, B, you're going into an off season that you're going to be looking for a new contract. You certainly don't want to go in there hurt into the off season. And again, there's no playoff motivation either. So, you know, I wonder if there's any mixed feelings if it is Tannehill and he goes in there. But I can also see making a bit of a case for Malik, too, in that maybe this is the last chance, really, for Malik Willis to say, okay, I've learned something. I'm a little bit better. I can show some potential as an NFL quarterback, even if it's just as a backup. You know, give me one more chance. Give me a game or two start, and I'll show you something. So, you know, I can see both ways going about it. I wonder, too, one more factor, maybe if you're Mike Vrabel and you're at all concerned about your job at the end of the season, you know, maybe that causes you to lean more towards Tannehill, you know, obviously more experienced and more likely to come out with a victory or two if he's starting than Malik Willis. So maybe that plays into it as well.
Well, I think you just hit on the last thing for me that makes it very simple. I mean, whether you're actually worried about your job or not, You're trying to win if you're Mike Vrabel. You're not signing up for any losses. And those guys in the room, if you went to Willis, no, you're unserious about winning, right? I mean, I don't see how you can justify that decision to the guys in the room that you're asking still for 3 more weeks to come in and you know, work all day and try to win football games. I mean, that's just how I look at it. But on the Willis topic, John, Robbie says it's a fireable offense if they don't go get a veteran backup, experienced backup. I'm going to get you to fire someone today on the program. So what do you say about that? What do you say about the idea of Malik Willis as QB2 next year? Should that be any sort of consideration?
Well, one way to prove that, Joe, is if you put him in the last couple of games and get a better idea. And obviously the results so far with Malik Willis have not been good. There haven't been a whole lot of reasons to think that he is any type of quarterback for the future, even if it is only QB2. But, you know, maybe you get more of a sense of that in that last game or two. You know, as it stands right now, I would have serious concerns about him being the QB2 moving forward. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen because, you know, the NFL only has so many decent quarterbacks. And even though we haven't seen much from Malik, you know, you still run into the issue of, like, who are you going to have if not him? He's a guy that at least knows the system, at least has experience, you know, has played in some games for the Titans. So, you know, I wouldn't completely rule that out, but in a perfect world, I'd certainly like to have a, you know, someone I feel better about going in there than Malik Willis at this point. Again, maybe give him a shot at one or two of these last games, give him one last opportunity to say, hey, I've really, you know, I've soaked some things in. You know, I've learned a little better. Maybe Will Levis' success has motivated me that much more. You know, give him a shot to show something.
John, last thing for you here. How do you view the Derrick Henry situation as it currently stands? His contract's up after this year. He'll be 30 in January. How much value do you think there would be if you're the Titans to bring him back? Or do you think it's time to just move on and start a different era here in Tennessee?
Yeah, I think it'll probably come down to what type of money is involved. You know, I mean, you can make a case for Derrick Henry to come back, you know, again saying that, you know, if you can find a way to better the offensive line to the point that Derrick Henry is going to get those first couple steps without getting hit in the backfield or right at the line of scrimmage, that Derrick Henry could still be a very good back. You know, but there's also a case to be made, I think, for moving on when you look at some of the numbers for Derrick Henry that are kind of gradually been declining. You know, I mean, even last year, right, you know, he was playing behind a pretty crummy line, was still averaging, you know, over 4 yards a carry, still went over 100 yards 9 times. This year, you know, he's right at 3.8 right now, yards per carry, which is the lowest of his career. You know, he's only had, I think, 3 games over 100 so far. And you look at some of the numbers, you know, like yards over expectation, you know, missed tackles forced, a lot of the analytical type numbers, and they're sliding. They're not as good as they used to be. So you wonder at some point, you know, does it become a little counterproductive for the Titans to be giving Derrick Henry the ball 15, 20, 25 times a game? You know, in the past, you could say that was certainly productive because even if he gets stuffed 5, 6, 7 times a game, you're still going to count on a few breakaway runs and some explosive runs. Now, I don't think you're necessarily seeing, you know, that production outweigh the number of stuffs or even negative yardage that we're seeing. So if you think your line is going to be better, if you can get Derrick Henry back at a reasonable contract, I think that's a big win, you know, for the franchise. But if it costs too much, you know, I can certainly see this team moving on from Derrick Henry.
Well, John, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Hi, Johnny.
Absolutely. John Glennon from the Nashville Post, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it is time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. The Preds back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Vancouver Canucks. A standings update in the competition. So last time out, every single person got a correct answer, except for me. So the listeners improved to 8 correct answers, Joe Rexroad with 7, Nick Kieser with 5, and I remain on 2, which I'm pretty sure I've been at since like the second week of the season. So congratulations, Joe, to everybody except me last time out.
I think at this point, it's your responsibility, it's your civic duty to only pick guys who wouldn't care if they don't score. Like, you have to just pick, like, Cole Smith and Jeremy Lazan and stuff like that every game now. I'm sorry.
Maybe so.
You've not hit on one since November 9th.
They're going to start blaming you, and then it's going to get ugly in the locker room, and like we don't need that.
That's a long time ago. November 9th's a long time to go in a drought in this competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Terry. Terry, good morning. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning, guys. Well, I'm going to stay consistent with the listeners. I got to go with Forsberg, man.
Going with Philip Forsberg. Terry, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So Forsberg, the selection. Joe Rexroad, he's the popular pick right now. He's off the board. You're up first. You're pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, you know, you listeners need to get a little bit more creative. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to do this. It's not a right. And I'd like some of you to be a little bit more creative in your choices, okay? Although I did appreciate the Peter Forsberg pick last week.
I agree. If we can get Anton Forsberg next, that we could really roll this thing out.
There you go. I hate being the first pick when a listener doesn't do something goofy and not take Forsberg, you know, and take Forsberg. That's what's really interesting about this team, you know? It's like
it's a big stall.
It's Forsberg, and right now there's just such a drop. But, I mean, I've been right just about every time, too. So who am I going to pick who's going to score tonight, who's going to be excited to score? I'll go Ryan O'Reilly.
That was a long way to get to a guy who's second in the league in power play goals right now. Long way to get there. Way to go.
I'm trying to spread holiday cheer to whoever may need it.
Thank you. Forsberg, O'Reilly off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I should just let you go before me. Do you want to go before me, Robbie?
Shut up and make a pick. Make a pick.
I tell you what, I think he's been on a hot streak lately, and I think he will look like himself again tonight. Yakov Trenin. I think he will score a goal against the Vancouver Canucks. And I guess a little called shot. Let's make it a game winner tonight.
Wow.
Wow. I'm going Tommy Novak. I picked him last week. I swear to you, Joe, I had the first pick. The caller picked Forsberg, and I was like, you know what? Yossi. Sounds like a good one. I didn't do it, and I talked myself into Tommy Novak. And lo and behold, Yossi scores, and I was kicking myself watching the Predators game that night. But I'll go Novak. I think he's been a little slow out of the gate coming back from the injury, but I think he finds one tonight. Novak, my selection. So my apologies to Tommy Novak.
Yeah. Sorry, Tommy. It's a tough one. He's nice, though, so he probably won't punch you in the face when he doesn't score.
Fred's pick to click here on Robbie and Rex. So, by the way, coming up between 9 and 11, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win tickets to see Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown Band at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, August 3rd. Plus, today's winner will also qualify to win a $250 Electronic Express gift card. That's between 9 and 11 a.m. today with Chase and Big Joe. Final thoughts real quickly, Joe, on the Preds. Going for win number 14 out of 17 games tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. We talked about it to begin the show, but they're on a heck of a run right now. Can they keep this thing going? How sustainable do you think this is in terms of not necessarily the pace that they're at right now, but being a factor in the Western Conference?
It's a great question. You know, and speaking of O'Reilly, that's exactly a question I asked him yesterday. You know, the sustainability of this, you know. Because teams go on hot streaks, they go on cold streaks. We've seen this team look really good and not great already this year. But, I mean, the obvious difference, I think, is Saros, right? I mean, Saros right now is playing Vezina-level hockey early in the year. I think it was even a slower start than normal. Andrew Burnett talked yesterday about, you know, some of the help that they're trying to give him, too, and maybe – I love the expression he used yesterday. You know, we don't want defensemen trying to play goalie, you know, giving him lanes and things like that to see the puck. And so it just seems like they just have a real confidence right now. O'Reilly does think it's sustainable, especially in terms of like how they have leaned into close games late and taken on the pressure of the moment and sort of embraced it. Whereas I think it was, in fact, I think it might have been your question for O'Reilly when they were in their downstretch where it was like, What was the quote? Basically, like, just keep finding ways to lose, right? Like, just It's now they're finding ways to win. You never want to – God, am I making up for lost time by just blabbing on and on whenever you ask me a question? I feel like I'll just stop talking. Sorry. Right, we'll see. We'll should be a good game. Tomorrow. Should be a good game tonight. Preds Canucks. I'll see you guys at Bridgestone.
We'll try again tomorrow.
I'll bring my computer.
For us today here on Robbie and Rex Road, a legendary show. Put this one in the Hall of Fame. Chasing Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.